And that's why we encourage you to team up, guys with guys and girls with girls, to go after these health goals. We are an integration of body and mind and spirit. All these things go together, and so the better we take care of our bodies, the better chance we have of having a closer relationship with God. Well, we are catching we're on the home stretch, so to speak, of this 50 Days to Fitness. We've got two more weeks, so keep on going after those goals that God has impressed you to set. And I want to also offer something to you to be thinking about as the 50 Days to Fitness comes to an end. The idea is not that we just give up on all the things that we've been doing, but we want to provide some support for you to continue on. The race continues, so to speak. And one of our church members, Jeremy Zumsteg, he's a staff sergeant in the Army, and he's going to be starting a workout group. This is going to begin March 1st. But the focus of this workout group is total fitness, or total body strengthening, all parts of the body, as well as increasing, improving cardio ability. So it's going to be a cardio workout, as well as something that'll work out all of your muscles. It's going to take place 3 to 5 days a week. He's going to be having a schedule, and so giving you a chance to sign up. But I'm just giving you an infomercial here on it, so that you can be thinking and praying about it. And if you'd like to sign up for that, that's going to take place in the next couple of weeks. Each of the workouts will be 30 to 60 minutes. It'll be Sundays and evenings, and it's open to all. Of course, we have to put a little disclaimer that you need to check with your doctor before you start one of these things, but Jeremy's a really great motivator, great guy to work with, because, well, you can talk to some of the people that have been part of his workout group, Celia and Pastor Zach, my wife. There's a variety of different people that have been a part of this workout group, and he's really good encouraging people to take it to the next level and also to be safe and not get injured. So just want to throw that out to you. Be thinking about that if you're looking for, if you don't have an exercise group that you're a part of, this is a great way to get started and get involved and working out together. And the camaraderie and encouragement of the other people in the group helps you to stick with it and to improve your physical fitness. Okay, well, in the world of competitive sports, as many of you are aware, it's not uncommon for us to hear about some high-profile athlete who's being busted because they were using illegal performance-enhancing drugs. We can think of several names, I'm sure, just as I mentioned this, that come to mind. It's not a surprising thing. But over the last 10 years, more and more research has been pointing to a training technique. So they've been looking over the last 10 years, research has been coming in, and they've been looking at this training technique that's actually helping people experience some of the same results that they've been getting by shooting up human growth hormone into their bodies. They've been seeing this, this technique is producing naturally human growth hormone. It's a pretty amazing thing. And what happened was, in 2002, a scientist from Stanford University by the name of Sherry Ma was doing some research on sleep. And what she was doing, she happened across a very significant study. What she was doing was she was studying undergraduate students. And there's a lot of knowledge out there about what happens when you're sleep deprived and just like what happens when you just get by with the bare minimum. What she wanted to do, and some of you are yawning already, what she wanted to do was she wanted to see what would happen if students were getting the optimum amount of sleep. What would happen to their performance and their ability to function? Well, it just so happened that by chance, some of the people in her study were athletes on the Stanford swim team. And during this week, during these weeks, actually lasted for several weeks, I think even over a month, her study lasted, where she was having these students sleep more than what they were getting on average. These students that were on the swim team noticed something really significant. There was a significant correlation between being in this study and their performance in the pool. When athletes slept more than the average 6 to 7 hours a night that they usually got, when they slept more than that, they noticed that they performed better. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And in fact, several of the athletes reported that they broke personal swimming records during the time that they got more sleep. Well, Sherry Ma believed that she was onto something here, and so she reported her findings, and they put together a team of scientists, and they turned their attention on the Stanford basketball team. And for the next 3 years, These scientists studied these athletes on the basketball team. For several weeks, like 2 to 4 weeks, they had them sleep the normal amount that they would regularly sleep. And then for 5 to 7 weeks, they asked them to get more, bump up their time in bed, sleeping more than an hour than they, okay, so adding more than an hour to their normal amount of sleep. All right, and what happened was when they added over an hour of sleep to their normal sleeping regimen each night, when they increased this time of sleep, after the 5 to 7 weeks, they looked at the statistics, and they saw a dramatic improvement in the performance of these athletes. These athletes were able to run faster when they were sleeping more. Their shooting accuracy improved significantly. Three-point shooting, free throw shooting improved significantly. And their fatigue levels decreased. In general, these athletes performed better in practice and on the court. They looked forward to those times when they would get out there and play because they were recharged. As you might imagine, when Ma published her findings, athletes all over began to take notice. And now, instead of just getting by on the minimum amount of sleep, professional sports teams are looking to her to be a consultant as to how they can get better rest. They're incorporating rest as part of the athlete's lifestyle. Olympians who are preparing for the Olympics, they're looking at the rooms in which they're sleeping in. They're putting drapes over the windows so that they have uninterrupted rest as a result of these findings. Well, research like this demonstrates something that you and I probably already know. If you and I are going to perform at our best, if we're going to experience total fitness and achieve optimum health, then we need to give our bodies rest, sleep, time to recharge. We already know that. But the problem is, many of us, some would say most of us, are sleep deprived. Can you say amen to that? Most of us are. And the more we miss out on sleep, the unhealthier we become. Listen to this. Medical research tells us that chronic sleep deficiency taxes our immune systems. In other words, it makes us more prone to getting sick. It also increases our risk, and listen to this list, it increases our risk of high blood pressure, heart disease, stroke, diabetes, obesity, and depression. All these things are connected to insufficient sleep. In other words, sleep deprivation doesn't just make us feel lousy. Of course, we feel terrible when we don't get enough sleep, but it's not just a feeling. It actually damages our health. So this morning, as we enter the last 2 weeks of our 50 Days to Fitness, we're going to take a look at an aspect of health, this habit of sleeping that affects all other areas of our life. In order to do that, we're going to look at a teaching from the Bible that will help us get the sleep we need. So the title of the message this morning is one word, and that word is recharge, recharge. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much that you have provided practical teachings in your word to help us live healthy lives. Lord, we want to perform at optimum levels. We want to perform at our best. We want to experience the life that you intend for us. And we recognize that many of us struggle with sleep, myself included. So I pray, God, that we would listen to the teaching from your word and grow to be more like you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, please turn with me to Psalm chapter 4. Psalm chapter 4. If you need a pew Bible, there's one right in front of you. Just go ahead and grab that. It's page 515, Psalm chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verse 8. I forgot to advance my slide here. There's the Stanford team. Okay, let's keep on going. All right, Psalm chapter 4 and verse 8. While you're looking for it, let me just say a little bit about it. King David, who wrote Psalm chapter 4, was a well-loved and highly popular king. But even though he enjoyed almost rock star status, he also knew what it was like to have enemies. Before King David was King David, before he was crowned king, David spent a long time running from his life from a jealous king by the name of Saul. In order to survive, David had to be constantly on the move. He couldn't go home and find safety there because that would endanger his family. And he was careful that he wouldn't be seen in certain places because he might be captured at any moment by Saul's men. He was constantly on the run, constantly looking over his shoulder, constantly vigilant, looking after somebody that might take him captive because King Saul was out to take his life. Often he had to live out in the wilderness, living in caves. He lived in some really unpleasant places. At times, living with the enemies of Israel was actually safer than living in Israel itself. While Saul was pursuing David, he was in constant danger. But after Saul was killed in battle and David was crowned king, his life was still in danger. The potential for danger was still very present. Sure, the life of a king is a good life. When you're at the top of the political food chain, life can be very good. But being a king is not the safest way to live either. It's not the safest career to have. Sometimes kings would be caught off guard by a surprise attack. Sometimes they would be betrayed from someone within their realm. So David, as king, had to be constantly vigilant still. But in spite of all the danger that surrounded David's life throughout his life, David was not sleep deprived. He wasn't. He learned a principle of healthy living that was so precious to him, he actually wrote about it in song. We find it in Psalms chapter 4 and verse 8. Listen to what he says. David says, I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. How would you like to be able to say that? I will both lie down in peace and sleep, because you, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Because of God's presence in David's life, he could experience great sleep. There is a correlation there. When God is in our lives, we experience good rest. He says, I will both lie down and sleep. In other words, David wasn't tossing and turning in bed. He wasn't just lying down and worried about what was going to happen the next day. He wasn't lying down in his bed at night, putting out the candles or whatever that provided light in his room and staring at the ceiling all night long. He says, I will both lie down and sleep. I will both lie down and sleep. He's talking about two inseparable actions. When he lies down, in other words, he falls immediately fast asleep. In America, we really have everything that you need to sleep well. I mean, think about it. We have some of the most comfortable mattresses on the planet. We have rooms in our home dedicated to sleeping. We have heavy curtains that we can put over our windows or blinds that can keep light from coming in from lights outside. We have all of these things to help us sleep really well. But in spite of all these things, in spite of all these amenities that are available to us, the Center for Disease Control says that sleep deprivation in the United States of America is a huge problem. They estimate that nearly 40% of the population in the United States is sleep deprived. And the damage that this is having on the health of Americans like you and I is huge. It is so big, it is so serious, that the Center for Disease Control is saying that insufficient sleep, and I quote this, insufficient sleep is a public health epidemic. It's a public health epidemic. In an article published in Time magazine, a global survey confirmed what the CDC reported on. And out of the major countries in the world that were included in this study, they found that Americans turned out to be some of the most sleep-deprived people on the planet. And the main reason, this is really interesting, the main reason why people in the United States are having such a hard time sleeping, according to this huge study that was conducted, is this. This was on the very top, the reason that all these people were saying, hey, I'm having a hard time sleeping. They gave this reason. They said, it's tough for us to sleep at night when we lie down because we are so worried and we're so stressed. So it's not that we don't have a good place to go to lie down and sleep. The problem is that when we go to lie down, at least many people in the United States, when we go to lie down, we're not falling asleep. David says, I will both lie down and sleep, because you, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. David was able to say, long before the Serta mattress was ever created, that he could fall fast asleep, because there was something special going on in David's mind when he laid down to bed. Psalms 4:8 tells us that something special was David had peace. He says, I will both lie down in peace. Some versions say, in peace I will lie down. Same thing. David, in his mind, he had peace. Now, typically when we think of peace, we think of a situation where there's no more war, or a situation where there's no conflict in our life. Typically, that's our idea of peace. But the peace that David is talking about is a peace that includes so much more than the absence of conflict. The word that is translated peace here in Psalms chapter 4 and verse 8 is a famous Hebrew word that you've probably heard before. It's the word shalom. Shalom. Shalom describes more than just an absence of conflict. Shalom describes an experience of completeness. It's an experience of contentment, of wholeness. It means that you are secure. When you have this kind of peace, you are safe. You can have peace even when the future looks scary, when the peace that you have is shalom. That's the intent here. Jesus demonstrates what shalom looks like in Mark chapter 4. In Mark chapter 4, he'd been busy teaching people all day long by the Sea of Galilee, and at the end of the day, he was tired, he was exhausted. They got into a boat, and he expressed his wish to the disciples. He said, please, let's cross over to the other side. So as they got out into the lake, something happened that often happened on the Lake of Galilee. These strong winds would sometimes come out of nowhere, and they'd whip down the hills that were surrounding the Lake of Galilee, and they turned this peaceful lake into churning waves. This little boat that had very little clearance on the lake began to fill with water, and the disciples were bailing the water out, and they were paddling. They didn't know what to do. They were deep in the middle of the lake, and the Bible says that during this time, during this crisis, Jesus, what was he doing? He was in the back of the boat with his head on a pillow, and he was fast asleep. That's what shalom looks like. Now, some of you might be saying, well, okay, Jesus could sleep because he knew what he was going to do next. He knew that he was going to get up, and he was going to say, peace, be still, and that the wind would have to obey him, and the waves would have to obey him, and immediately everything would be calm. He wasn't worried. He had authority over the wind and the waves. But that was Jesus. How can you and I have this same kind of peace in the turmoil of our lives? Well, the Bible also gives us another example of an ordinary person. One of the guys in that boat, in fact, ordinary fisherman, follower of Jesus, who also experienced this same type of shalom peace, this contentment, regardless of what was happening around him. We hear about this story in Acts chapter 12. In Acts chapter 12, King Herod had executed one of Peter's close friends. His name was James. And now it appeared that Peter would be next. Peter was captured, and he was thrown in prison. To make sure that Peter would not escape, they bound his wrists with these heavy shackles, and they chained him between two strong guards. They had 16 soldiers looking after Peter, and the future for Peter was not looking good. I mean, just put yourself in Peter's shoes. The king has just killed one of your friends for preaching Jesus, and now he captured you. What was going to happen? The future did not look bright for Peter at this moment. By all appearances, he would soon be dead. But instead of missing out on sleep in this, I imagine it to be just dirty, smelly dungeon, chained between two guards with these heavy shackles, instead of missing out on his sleep, we see Peter sawing logs. In fact, Peter was sleeping so soundly that when the angel shows up, look at this. This is Acts chapter 12, verse 7. When the angel shows up to Peter's cell, He's not awakened. And there's this bright presence, and Peter is sawing logs. He's sleeping soundly. He's not awakened. The angel shows up to rescue Peter from this situation. And the Bible says, in order to wake Peter up, that the angel struck Peter on the side. In other words, he didn't tap him on the shoulder. He didn't say, "Psst, Peter, it's time to go." That wasn't enough to wake Peter up. He actually struck him on the side in order to wake him up. The night before Peter is executed, he's sleeping this soundly. That's crazy. That's shalom. Shalom means that we are secure regardless of our circumstances. I want to show you a picture here. Have you ever looked at a baby, seen a baby sleeping soundly like this? Have you ever looked at a child like this and felt jealous? You looked at a child and said, "Man, I wish that I could sleep like that. Wouldn't that be great?" Well, there's a reason that we describe good sleep in these terms, that they're sleeping like a baby, right? That's what we describe good sleep. "Man, I slept like a baby. I slept," in other words, "I slept so soundly, so well," sleeping like a baby. When a baby sleeps, it's pure bliss because the baby has no worries, nothing to worry about, no cares in this world. Babies are not worried about the economy and whether their parents are going to be able to make enough money to buy diapers the next day. They're not worried about that. Babies are not worried about the weather and whether this weather system that's over us right now is going to drop enough rain for us. Babies are not worried about their health. Babies are not worried about their careers or what's happening in their family. And can you blame them? I mean, do we fault children for sleeping like this? Do we say, "You know what, little kid, you should be really worried. I mean, there's so many things you should be worried about. Don't you know? There's so many diseases out there that you could get. I mean, what's going to happen to your future? What are you going to be when you grow up? Where are you going to go to school, and how are you going to pay for that?" I mean, we don't expect a child to worry about that, and why not? Because that is completely out of their control, right? It's completely out of a child's control. I mean, they're helpless. They're absolutely dependent. And so these things are completely out of their control. So why would we expect a baby to worry about those things? But what's interesting is that you and I do the same thing. Even though we're a little more mature, we still worry about things that are out of our control. Amen. Can you change the way someone else behaves? Have you ever worried about that? Have you ever worried about, "Oh man, I hope this person does this. Oh, I hope they make this decision. Oh, I hope they don't say this to me. Oh, I hope they remember to do this." Can you change a person? "Oh, my spouse, I just wish they would, and I worry about it." We can't change those things. Can you change the weather? "Oh man, I'm so stressed out. I just really hope we get some more rain. You know, we need so much rain." Can we change that? We can't change that. Can we change what the future will bring us? And yet, how often do we worry about the future? What sense does it make to worry about things that we cannot change? It makes about as much sense as us getting upset with a baby for sleeping like that. These things are out of a child's control. And there are many of the things we worry about are out of our control as well. Well, if anyone could make this world, or his world, a secure place, it was King David. If anyone could provide for his own security, King David should have been able to do that. Every war that David fought, he won. He was a successful king, successful general. He was skilled in battle. He dominated all of the nations that were around him. God blessed him. God used him to do that, to establish peace for Israel. In fact, he was such a dominant leader that the people paid tribute to him. They loved him. He had a strong military, thousands of trained soldiers who were heavily armed. And if anyone thought that they could even get close to laying a finger on David, David had this amazing personal bodyguard that the Bible calls David's mighty men. To get into this club, you had to do some pretty amazing things. These guys killed giants, the people who were in David's mighty men. People who were in David's mighty men, one of them stood their ground even though everybody else left in the middle of battle, and he took on an entire troop of enemy soldiers, and he knocked them all down. He killed them all. Another, in battle, single-handedly killed 800 men. I mean, these guys could take care of business, and these guys were all loyal to David. He was surrounded by this bodyguard of soldiers. David had wealth, he had popularity, people loved him, he had military success. If anyone could be able to produce a secure environment for themselves, it was David. He had all this going for him. If anyone could say that their life was secure, I'm thinking David probably would be a good candidate. But according to David, that's not where his security came from. Look closely at what it says in Psalms chapter 4, verse 8. Going back to this verse, look closely at what it says there. He says, "I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you, O Lord, give me rest." Is that what it says? I left a word out. Yeah. He says, "God, you alone make me dwell in safety." You alone. David had all of these things: bodyguard, powerful army. He had the fame and popularity that anyone could ever want. He was in a secure place as we would define it as human beings. But David says, you know what? It's not about that. God, you alone make me dwell in safety. Just like this baby. Go back to it here. Whoops. Just like this baby right here. When a baby has confidence in its parents, they can dwell in safety. They're not worried about it because they're confident that their parents are going to be able to take care of business. Their parents are going to be able to provide. These children don't have to worry about these things when they have loving parents that are taking care of them. And so they're able to sleep like that. Same is true for us. You and I can dwell in safety because God is present in our life. God is present in our life. God is constantly looking out for us. He's constantly protecting. He's constantly providing. Now, some of you might say, well, if that's true, Pastor Brian, then why is it that bad things happen to people? Well, look at Jesus. Did Jesus trust in God? Yeah. Was Jesus provided for by God? Was Jesus protected by God? We see that all throughout his life. This savage king, bloodthirsty king, was willing to kill all of these kids to try to knock Jesus out. God protected his son, watched over his son. But following God meant that Jesus was to come to a point and he was to say, "Father, if it is your will that I be crucified, so be it. But that's not what I want to do. If that's your will, though, I'm willing to experience that." Amen. Here's the thing. We can trust God. Amen. God can be trusted because we serve a God who is able to ultimately protect us. Amen. Regardless of what happens in this life, God is watching out for you. God is protecting you. So Peter, when he was in prison, whether he made it or whether he didn't, he could be confident and fall asleep because it didn't really matter to him. He knew that if God allowed him to be martyred, it was okay. Because his life was secure in Jesus. His life was secure in the hands of the one who overcame death. Our greatest enemy has been overcome by Jesus. What do we have to worry about? He is the one that watches over us. This is why God alone can provide the safety that you and I need. When we dwell in safety, we can sleep. Secure people are able to sleep really well. But what security do we have apart from God? Yeah, you might have an alarm system. You might have good locks on your house. We might live in a safe neighborhood. But things happen. Our only source of true security, eternal security, is the one who overcame our greatest enemy, and that is death. Amen. This is the one that watches over us. He is the one. Because of God, we are able to sleep because he does not sleep. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. This is what Psalms 121 tells us. This is the promise of God. So we are able to do this very vulnerable act of closing our eyes, laying down in bed, and saying, I'm not going to worry about the things that are out of my control. Because God watches over us. God watches over us. David got it. He said, you alone make me dwell in safety. Really, the act of sleep is a very spiritual experience. In fact, the Bible talks about it in these terms. The wicked have no rest. Those who trust in God dwell in safety. They enjoy good sleep. It is a spiritual experience. It says that we choose to trust in God just like a baby would trust its loving parents for the things that are out of its control. God alone makes us dwell in safety. Sleep is a gift from God. It doesn't come from us. God alone provides it. We are not able to produce this kind of sleep, at least the sleep that we need. We're not able to experience that on our own. Jesus says in Matthew 11:28, he says, come to me, all you who are sleep deprived, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and Jesus says, I will give you rest. Amen. The rest that we need only comes from God. It is a gift from God. It is a gift that we receive as we express confidence in his watch care in our life. Amen. By not coming to God, refusing to express confidence in him, by refusing the rest that he gives us, it is like refusing to charge a cell phone. You guys use smartphones? If you're like me, I've become pretty dependent on this. I love my wife dearly, but I can't tell you what her phone number is, but my smartphone can, right? Like if I were to lose this, I'd be in real trouble. I'm dependent upon it. This amazing device, and it helps our lives in so many ways. It helps my life, right? So I am able to send emails with this smartphone. I am able to punch in an address, and it gives me directions on how to get to the location. I can send text messages, and I still use it to talk to people. I still use it for that. I can look on the internet, all these different things this phone does, and so I use it a lot every day. It gets a lot of use, and so at the end of the day, if I don't plug it in to the charger that's connected to the wall, then in the morning, this phone isn't going to be worth very much, right? Does anybody else do that? At the end of your day, do you plug in your phone so that it can recharge so the next day you're able to call people and find out what phone number your wife has or whatever it is? You know, you're able to do all of these important things, send emails. Yeah, we plug these devices in so that they are recharged. Because if we do not recharge these devices, they're not worth much. Well, the very same thing that is true of cell phones is also true of you and I. There is no app, there is no operating system that will allow this phone to recharge itself. Don't miss this. Amen. When we try to find rest on our own apart from God, it doesn't work. Amen. Yeah, we might be able to numb out our worries for a little bit, but the rest, the deep, sleeping like a baby kind of rest can only come to us when we connect with God. Amen. David understood this, and he says, Lord, you alone make me dwell in safety. Amen. And Jesus invites us. Hey, are you sleep deprived? Jesus says, come to me, all who are sleep deprived, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. By looking to Jesus, this is how we connect with Jesus. By looking to Jesus, by praying to him, by expressing our confidence in him, by thanking him for all of the good things that he has done in our life and all of the good things that he promises to do in our life, we can connect with him and lie down, and not just lie down, toss and turn, look at the ceiling, but lie down and sleep, because God alone makes us dwell in safety. God alone gives us the sleep we need. So the health challenge for this week, here it is. Get a healthy amount of sleep. Now, here's the research on this idea of sleep. They've done a lot of research out there, multiple studies, and they find that on the average, most people need around 8 hours of sleep. If you're getting less than that, then it's, for most of us, it's damaging our immune system. It's setting us up for all of that list of things that come to those who are sleep deprived. High blood pressure, obesity, depression, stroke, all of these different things. We're increasing our chances of suffering from one of those things. But they say that 97% of the population need anywhere from 7 to 9 hours of sleep. I just hit it in the middle, about 8 hours of sleep. There are a few 1 to 3% of the population who are able to get by and be healthy with less than that. But for most of us mortals, we need about 8 hours. So that's the challenge that I want to give you. I want to encourage you to live at optimum performance. Be able to perform at your optimum. And so I want to challenge you to get a healthy amount of sleep. Here's some suggestions on how to do that. Okay. This is a powerful one. These are ones that I've tried, and I know that they really, really work. To pray before going to bed. Now, I'm not saying say your prayers. It's important to say maybe a recited prayer. But when I say pray before you go to bed, this is an act of surrender. It's an act of submission. An act of submission to the one who is able to affect change in areas that we are powerless over. It's surrendering these issues that are in our life that we worry about, surrendering our worries about finances, surrendering our worries maybe about relationships, surrendering our issues that we're struggling with. The future might be uncertain, surrendering those to God, laying them at God's feet because God is able to deal with these things. Pray before you go to bed. Second suggestion is to make a gratitude list. I'm so grateful for the message last week. If you didn't hear it, go onto our website and listen to it. It's a powerful message. Appreciate Pastor Zach bringing this out. And he challenged us to end our day by thinking of at least 10 things that we can be thankful for. When we make a gratitude list, and I appreciate that challenge because it really inspired me to do this a little bit more this last week. And something amazing takes place when we think about the things that we are thankful for. At least for me, I carry tension in my shoulders, and I literally sense my shoulders dropping the more I thank God for the blessings in my life. Amen. The tension in my chest goes away simply by making a gratitude list. Thank God as you end your day, as you lay down in your bed. Thank God for all the blessings he brings in your life. And the last suggestion is meditate on a Bible promise. Maybe it's this Bible promise right here. You claim, God, I claim this for myself, that I will lie down in peace and sleep, that the two will go together because you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. You can claim that promise. Maybe you can claim another promise. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Jesus promises that he will give us rest. Maybe you want to claim the promise in Philippians 4 where it says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Meditate on these promises. This is how we connect. This is how we recharge spiritually. There are some strategies there. Incidentally, several of these strategies come from the Center of Disease Control website, so it's not just me thinking these things up. Here's some strategies. I want to challenge you to, if you're way sleep deprived and you're not even near getting 8 hours of sleep a night, take a step and add an hour of rest to your sleep, hour of sleep to the time that you're spending in bed each night. Or work on getting a routine together. They say that we sleep better when we plan to go to bed and plan to wake up at the same time. Remove electronics from your bedroom. If you have a TV in your bedroom, make a radical change and take it out. If electronics are keeping you up and keeping you from going to sleep, you find yourself going to bed and checking Facebook for half an hour or whatever, that's half an hour of rest that you may need. Leave the phone in another room and go to bed. And then the last one there is avoid large meals before bedtime. There's a variety of things, and Gail gives you some really good suggestions. I want to just appreciate Gail for the suggestions that she has there in your bulletin. But these are just some strategies to help you perform at optimum levels. This is God's desire for us. He made us to do some amazing things, but many of us miss out on that because we are trying to do things that God is not asking us to do. Excuse me. Nowhere in the Bible does God command us to worry. Nowhere in the Bible does God tell us to work ourselves to death. Yes, there are times when we need to push it. Yes, there are times when we miss out on sleep because we're serving him or taking care of a sick child or whatever it might be. But as a lifestyle, God calls us to rest. This is God's will for you. He doesn't want you to be killing yourself, killing your potential by trying to burn the candle at both ends. God's created us to do some really amazing things, and so that we can achieve God's plan for our life, so we can achieve total fitness in our life, he gives us this blessing of lying down and sleeping. That's his plan for us. But there's no way that we can perform at our best and experience total health unless we get a healthy amount of sleep. So that's my challenge to you this week, is to recharge. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, this is one of those commands that we really want to keep. We really feel like keeping it. Many of us are very tired, and we just want to lie down and sleep. Sometimes you ask us to do some things that we really kind of resist, but God, we really need some rest. Many of us are sleep deprived. And so God, I pray that you would give us the confidence in you to be able to lie down and sleep. I pray that we would be able to experience the amount of sleep each night that we really need. It sounds like such a simple thing, but we recognize that this affects every area of our life. It affects our health, it affects our safety in life, and we know that it also affects our connection with you. So Father, I pray that you would give us each willing hearts to set a boundary on our busyness and just stop what we're doing and sleep at the appropriate time. Amen. I ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. May the God who gives you rest grant you victory over the things in your life that keep you from sleeping. Instead of running here and there, may you find your total contentment, your total wholeness in God. God bless you.